barrenness, even in death, God brings life. He that believes in me shall never die. That's what Jesus said. And I just want to say, not to put you on the spot, Adam, that takes a real man, but thank God that you did what God put on your heart, man. Then that really, right there, praise God. God has people for you to be ministering to with your life. Praise God. I'm going to ask our ushers if they could pass out the element, not pass out, but pass the elements out. And Ginevra, I just want to say, I've always said this about you, that your smile when you're up singing, man, is extremely infectious. It's good. And I'm glad you did make it. It's quite a story behind that, but man, you're just, oh. Thank you, David. You're just hitting spot on. And that song that we did, that last song, Pastor Marianne and I, and there's just probably some other people in here I'd say that could remember that song when it first came out. We used to sing that in our youth group, and it was as powerful as some of the songs that you sing and you're affected by, you know, the emotion and what the Lord has done. We were that way with that one of those particular songs as well. And it also brought me back to a time when my parents, we were all going to the Baptist church, the community church that we went to, and that was one of the favorite songs that was led on the Sundays. And it just brought me back to that time. How good, how gracious, how merciful God is to hold on to you and never leave you nor forsake you. You know, while the emblems are being passed out, I'll leave it there. It's interesting to note that, you know, we do this ever so often, have communion. And when we have it, sometimes we can get in our minds, it's sort of like a bit of a routine. But this is a very powerful, powerful ordinance that Jesus left us. And what it really is telling us is that all that God did through Jesus Christ, when Jesus was dying on the cross, and his blood was God's blood, God's DNA, that's what separated himself. It was God's spirit that was his father. He didn't have an earthly father. He had God as his father. But he was born in a woman's womb. And he had God's DNA. So he was the only one ever that came down from heaven, left that place, and came down to earth that was in a lot of a mess. A real bad mess. And when he died, the blood that was staining the cross and dripping on the ground, flowing from his body, his life flowing out of him, he was remembering and looking at those that were in front of him. But he was looking to you, and he was looking at me when he was dying. He was looking at everybody here in this room and everybody else that has ever claimed his name and everyone yet that is going to become a Christian, going to become a born-again Christian believer and have that change, that new creation. That's the creation. That's what's happened in you. You become a new creation inside. And, you know, with that in mind, what we need to realize is this just before we take it. Because I believe that some of us here this morning, and if you have issues that need to be settled, don't settle it with trying to reason it out. Settle it with the Word of God. And if you don't know all of what the Word God says, go home and start reading a bit more. But what I want to leave with you is that today, this morning, if you don't even know that much of the Bible, but you know just enough that Jesus died, was resurrected, and he says, whoever believes in me shall not see death, but have eternal life. Whether it's before he comes or after he comes, praise God, is this morning with this ordinance that he's given us, he says, as oft as you do this, I mean, how good is God? He didn't say you have to go to theological seminary or become a Jew and go to a synagogue to learn all the Torah and the whole lot. He didn't say that at all. He said to his disciples on the night before he was crucified, he says, as oft as you do this, and he explained it, that this is my body, which is broken for you. We're going to chew on this. But while we're doing that, we can begin to settle any issues. Because it's a reminder, he says, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. Don't forget me. Don't forget what I did. Don't forget my covenant that I left with you. And it will never stop. It'll never end. That we can settle this morning issues that are ongoing in our lives. Issues that, and I'll say this in the right way, I've got certain issues that I have faced that were too big for my shoulders, man. And I had to trust God. And there are people here this morning that you may have issues that are too big for your shoulders. And we weren't made that way. We were made to flow and live just like God and just like Jesus in the kingdom of heaven. But while we're on this earth, we have a crime breaker. We have a destiny to be able to say to Satan and the things that life is throwing at us and circumstantial things that have come up our way, whether it's from our ignorance, through our ignorance, or other people doing things, or just life itself, whatever life throws at us, we can make a settlement today to take the word of God and just believe and remember what Jesus did. And I've been in times where I've taken communion with another person or people, and things broke right there. Supernaturally broke in the spirit. We sensed it. And then afterwards, there was a phone call. Job wasn't lost. Hey, it works. Praise God. Whatever they are today, I want all of us to take these emblems and remember Jesus, all that he did. So, Father, this morning, as we take this simple little biscuit, this cracker biscuit, Lord God, that's been broken, when we place it in our mouth, it's not holy, Lord, but it reminds us of the covenant that we have, that it was your body, you became a living sacrifice on our behalf, Lord Jesus. You bore all of our sins. You bore all of the things, Lord, that we deserved punishment for. And you took it all upon yourself. What a Savior. What a covenant. So in Jesus' name, let's take it together. Lord, in the same respect, we lift up this cup of juice, Lord, that is also something that you asked your disciples to do. And you said to them, and you're saying to us this morning, that as oft as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. What do we have to remember about you, Lord? So many things that if they were to be written down in a book or books, the entire world would not be able to hold them. Time after time after time, Lord, you brought brokenness and sickness and disease and loneliness and crushed people's hearts, Lord God. You made them whole with the power of God working in and through you. And today, Lord, we whatever we're facing now in this place, we settle that issue with the devil. We settle that issue now as we speak it out and even under our breath as we take this cup, Lord God. We settle those issues and say we are the righteousness of God through Christ. There's no demon. There's no hellish demon. Not even Satan himself is able to take us and to win. For we're more than conquerors through Christ, our Lord Jesus. Let's take it together. Last chorus. Ben, would you like just the chorus part of it? Yeah. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Can we just stand and sing that chorus one more time? You'll be sitting for an hour and a half anyways. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. I know. It's worth the living, isn't it? Amen. Just because he lives, and life is worth the living, just because he lives. Amen. Father, thank you this morning for your presence in this place. It changes this building, Lord God, from an auditorium into a chapel for your presence, Lord. And Father God, even more than that, we are the temples of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, for the privilege, for the honor, and for the grace and the mercy that you've bestowed upon us to live inside our hearts. So we can talk with you now, Lord. We can, it's not a one-way thing either, Lord. We can talk with you and you can talk back with us to give us hope, to give us a future, to give us life, to give us direction, Lord God, which way we need to go. And I pray this morning, Father God, I thank you for the worship that has been here, Lord God. We've touched heaven again, Lord. And I thank you, Lord God, that this morning, the words that flow from my lips, Lord God, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, this message would touch each of our hearts. Lord, set us free to continue on, to continue on, and to make it to the end in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God bless you. Be seated. And interesting how things have been flowing this morning. I just praise God every time it happens, and it happens almost all the time, is that either someone, what they're preaching, it's happened to Pastor Moran, it's happened with Pastor Sue, it's happened with other people. Aubrey, it's Pastor Aubrey, you know, my daughter. And I just want to say personally thank you, Pastor Sue, for helping to maintain the preaching and all the things that were going on. And also my daughter, Aubrey, who's working this morning. Anyways, that's all right. They need it. But yeah, just I've got something here. I believe it spoke to me, and it's been there a long time, and it's manifested its way into my heart in such a way that it came from heaven. But man, it had to get out. And the only way it could get out is through me for the things that I was going through. And I know everyone here has things that are challenging to you. Even, you know, Ben this morning talked about, you know, being challenged. And life is a challenge. But even greater than that, there's one who is able to meet every challenge that we will ever face in life. And my message this morning is, if feeling like you want to quit, can you say that all the time? You're going, I don't feel like I want to quit. But have you always said that in circumstances that have come your way? Look, even as a pastor, I've got to say, it's not once, it's not twice, three times a lady. No, it's not that. There's been a lot of times in my life that I've come to a point I've wanted to quit. And I'm not just talking about quit ministry. I'm talking about just quitting things and just giving up on relationships, giving up on things that were in my life at certain times in certain periods. And it does happen. Every single one of us go through times. We go through certain periods where there's either relationships or there are things that are going on circumstantially, or there's business, or there's work, or lack of work, lack of finances. All these different things can cause all of us, and even sickness and health, lack of health, can cause us to want to quit life, to quit life. Anybody here ever been there? You don't have to raise your hands, but you did already. So when you want to quit, what that is really, there's an, you know what, the only way to explain it is this. There's an urge. You haven't done it yet, but there's an urge, a compulsion to leave and to stop whatever you're doing. Sometimes it's to resign, or in a worse way, you're admitting defeat. Who likes to admit defeat? Who likes to face defeat? Well, we do it all the time. That's what sport's all about. That's what things in our lives are all about. We're facing challenges that are wanting us and trying to cause us to quit. But the challenge is to do something about what we're facing. What the challenge is, face the challenge. Instead of admitting defeat, move on and keep on going. Whether it's in schooling or higher education, some of you have not been there yet, but you're facing years possibly of higher education. Maybe you're facing in school now that you feel like you want to, the young ones are gone now, right in the other room, but you know, it could be something in school that you're facing, a position that you might hold, whatever weakness, or there's a habit that you've got that's wanting you to be defeated. Circumstances, situations, the list goes on and on and on. Quitting is a force. It really is a force. And the driving part of that force is fear. But what does the Bible say? I haven't put this down, but what does the Bible say in 2 Corinthians 1:7? God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's not talking about the noggin, because we reason there. God has not given us a spirit, the spirit that has been rejuvenated, the spirit of God that caused us to come alive out of our deadness. That's our human spirit that God made to come alive. God has not given us a spirit that came from Him of fear. Fear is demonic. Fear is of the devil. Fear is of the dark side. Fear is a spiritual force. And it is as strong on the opposite side as fear is on the other side. Because with fear, it will cause you to be crushed. But what happens, let me give you this illustration, you might know this already. You know those thistles that grow, those purple flowers that grow up in the paddocks a lot of times? And there's one time that we went to the Snowies, I think it was with you, Sue, and with Gail a long time ago, and we had our kids were small, yes. And we went horse riding, and I think it was my wife's horse. Did a couple things, man. One of the things that it did, it stopped in our trekking. It stopped to eat the top part of the thistle. And I thought, oh, my God, you got to be joking, man. There's one thing about a thistle. If you tenderly and gingerly grab it, you're going to get hurt real bad. But if you take that same thistle and squeeze it hard and crush it, it won't hurt you. I'm not saying to go home and try it. But it does work. It does work. That's what Satan does. That's what fear does. It makes you sort of, pardon my expression, sort of pussyfoot around just a little bit. Got to play with it. Really can't, I'm afraid to squeeze it. I'm afraid to get past the challenge. No. Faith says, grab a hold of the Word of God. Take fear. God has already gotten rid of it through Jesus Christ and the blood. And He says, now I want you to walk in faith, which is stronger, far stronger in a way, in a sense, than what fear is. So quitting is a force that we have to contend with in life. Every president, every prime minister, you know, it's not just us. Every king, every queen, every ruler of every country, every champion, every winner in sport or whatever they're doing, every soldier. How many soldiers are out there that have been out there and that are out there now? They're facing fear. They're facing things that are causing them to fear. But I tell you what, there's a lot of those soldiers that have the Bible. And they're overcoming their fear by reading the Word of God in the midst of it all, whatever they're facing in the war zones. And you know, it's not just designed for other people. Christians have to contend with fear, as well as those who are not born again. So it's an urge to want to quit. And there's an urge to do that, and it just causes all of our makeup to sort of like just boil down and causes us to look at, in a sense, admit failure, admit defeat, and admit just giving up. Maybe you're facing something now this morning. I don't know, you know, what you're going through. It might be something where something that I haven't mentioned. Some of those other things that people hold on to. It could be a host of things. It could be maybe relationships with other people that you want to quit, or a relationship with a person that you want to quit. It could be maybe something. It may not be here, someone here, but it whether it is or not. We also find these things in church, and if you're a person today who's got, you want to quit in your marriage, come on now, we're grown-ups. Those times come. The pressures come. I'm not looking at you, so don't worry about it. I'm not going to go say, ding. But it happens in relationships, all different kinds. But the urge is there to quit. I want to challenge everyone this morning like I've been challenged over and over and over again. And so have some of you over and over and over again. Don't quit. Stand up and do not become a defeated person. Do not let your dream go down the drain. Hang on to your dream or your dreams. Don't let them go. God gave you those giftings. God gave you a gift. God gave you a dream. God gave you His life. Not just to quit, but to finish. It says He knows the plans that He has for our lives. They're not evil, so there's no fear involved in that, in fulfilling His plans. But He says to give you a future and a hope. If anything will destroy a person that is trying to look to get to the future, to do something in the future, is a lack of hope that will destroy your future. That's exactly what Satan is doing today with so many of this generation. He's causing their hope to be destroyed so that they'll not reach their future, the destination that God has planned for their lives. Amen. Praise God. So don't quit. Don't let your dream go. Sometimes when we're holding on to things and we're facing challenges, it's like anything. There are, and these are basic things I'm sharing with you this morning, so I hope you don't, you know, very basic. But sometimes if we're facing a challenge, if we're facing that force of wanting to quit, sometimes that's all it takes is just a small adjustment somewhere in your life. Isn't that something? We always think, and that's where Satan will try to hoodwink you. He'll make you think like, well, you got to do this for a long time, and you're never going to reach it because you're going to die, and you're never going to make it because you're stupid, and you're dumb, and you're not as quick as others, and, you know, you might need a little bit more education, but who thinks, you know, you can't do a higher education because you can't even read that fast? And your comprehension as an older person maybe, or a younger person, everybody else has got all this in the noggin. They've been born on the right side of the tracks. And so that causes us to want to quit. No, don't. Don't quit. Our challenge is to keep on going. Sometimes it might be that you need money to do something that you're wanting to do, to move on. That's nothing with God. He doesn't have to sell one of the pearly gates to give you something. He owns the cattle, You know, we say this a lot, but how much are the cattle on 1,000 hills worth to a farmer? That'll pay all his bills. God has all the riches. We're just looking in the wrong place. We're looking this way and we're looking down when we need to be looking up. He's our source. God is our source for all things. And he's our source to give us the strength not to quit. Oh, I got to go to the gym and work out so I can feel better about myself and, you know, and look good and act good and start reading some psychology books and how to master people, master your position over people by psychology and get ahead. Well, that's all competition. That's nothing to do with God's kingdom. And that will not take care of where you have to go all the way. You see, when we get God and put him first, then all of a sudden, he channels everything down because he's got listening ears. I hope you know that, and I hope you remember that all the time. You may be by yourself squalling, bawling, and weeping, but God is watching you, and he's got his eyes on you. His promise is, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. No, I'm only with you when you're happy. I'm only with you when you're happy and you've bought a house. I'm only with you when you get married and you're happy and you got kids and a swimming pool in the backyard and all these different. No, I'm with you when you're weak. I'm with you when you have loss in your family. I'm with you when you're losing things. I'm with you when you're filled with so much loneliness that you can crack. God says, I'm with you. And I know that there are people that are here now that have been to the quiet closets where the only thing that's sounding off are the thoughts that Satan is trying to ruin them with. But I also know that there are people here that in that very thing, that very closet, they found God's help and they realized that God was going to get them through, and he did. Every one of us have testimonies this morning that would just give God the glory to what he's done on our most uncouth times, on the most weakest times, in the times when everything was going against us, life itself, and God got us out of the mess. We crossed that Red Sea, man, and all the waves were up here and that circumstances. And he says, you just go this way here. And you say, you want me to go there? He says, well, you asked, didn't you? Go through. God will make a way where there's no way. God is the God of impossibilities. That's what we so love. That's what I so love about God. One of the things, anyways. So sometimes it's only a small adjustment in our lives. Sometimes we have to do a little bit of studying, and you may not be that quick. You may be quick. You may be a good studier. You may be a good reader. But if you're not, it doesn't make any difference. Go for it. Make the adjustments where you can make the adjustments and do whatever it takes, but don't quit. That's the only thing you don't want to do. You may, and I got to say this too, because I'm going to get to a point now. I'm going to share something about my life. You may realize, you may not realize it, but your life is extremely important. Extremely important. You think I'm not going to look at my wife? I am. And if I had a mirror, I'd be looking at myself. Your life is extremely important to all of God's creation. Thank you, Sue and Bruce. To all of God's creation. Your life is so important to all the people in this world. We say, what are you talking about? Well, just look at the lights. Where'd they come from? A man who's facing a challenge, who's ready to quit over 20,000 times, and we've got them. The lights. It's affected the whole world. Your life is able to affect and will affect the whole world because we're conjoined together in Christ. And we've been made in the image of Almighty God. If you quit, you won't make a difference in this earth, in creation, to other people. I'm going to stop there. There's some other things I was going to share with you, except one other thing is this. I want a couple of verses that I want to read this morning, have us read this morning. One of them is found in Nehemiah. Sorry? Yeah, yes, I did. Oh, I'm sorry. No. Isaiah 43, I was looking at the other one that I got, I didn't give you. Isaiah 43, verses 2 through 3. And this is God's promise. Do you feel like sometimes you're going through the fire? You're going through the water? We had so many people think that and feel that, the fires that we've had. And sorry to say we lost some, but God spared so many. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. That's a promise from Almighty God. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Someone had to be sacrificed. Something had to be sacrificed, but it wasn't God's people. God is so good. There's another verse of scripture that, and this is important, Isaiah 40, 30, 28. And you know, the thing is with young people, and we were there once just a couple years ago, you feel invincible when you're young. And by the way, in the Roman Empire, you were considered a youth up until you were 40. Oh, I used to cherish that one. There's something about it that young people, children, youth, they feel invincible. But this destroys, in a sense, the ability to rest on your laurels when you're young, that everything's going to be okay and I can do anything I want without dying or without getting weak or without getting sick or without losing strength. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the heavens of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. Thank God. Would you not say thank God? Neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. So we can trust in something that even something we don't understand and we think there are impossibilities. We don't have to worry about God facing impossibilities and say, I can't do it. Sorry. He says in verse 29, he gives power to the weak. Don't raise your hands. Is there anyone, I'm not just talking about physically weak. I'm talking about spiritually weak or mentally weak. God is not weak. He gives power. That's why he's able to give power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases their strength. I feel good at 70. And I thank God for what he's been doing in my life. And I tell you what, though, I can't brag on all the juices I drink. And I can't brag on all the exercising and stuff that I do. And I can't brag on it's because of my genetics, because in a moment, it can be taken away. My brag is in the host of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who lives within me. That's my brag. He gives power to the weak. Sorry, could you just put that 20? He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases their strength. Even youths. Say it three times real fast. You bite your tongue. Even the youths shall fail and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Do we have any young men here? Thank you. At least you're trying to be honest. Well, you are young because it's just in your past. Okay, that's all right. Even the youths. Okay, we'll just keep on going there. But it says, those who wait. You know, we live in a world where it's too quick to wait. I ain't got time. I got to go to work. I have to do this. Or I don't have enough time to do this because I'm doing that over there. They who wait That's where you make your adjustment. Do you want to keep on going and try to get through, but you know you're going to face what you've been facing that's been making you weak and fail? Or do you want to put a stand out and say, nah, this is the line I draw in my life. I need God right now. Have you done that? We've done it. I've done it. Pastor Mary on a single, she's done it. You have to put God first where he says, those who wait on the Lord. When you wait on the Lord, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. His covenant is our covenant, and we're his covenant with him. It says, the Lord shall renew. You feel worn out today? Even mentioning the word renew sort of gets me feeling tired sometimes. Renew. It's like you're old and you got a use-by date and you're all burned up and you lay in a pile of ashes. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like the eagles. If you know anything about the eagles, I'm not going to get into that now, but there's a time that they go through and they lose their feathers and they lose their beak and all these different things happen to them because of life and their genetics. They go through something. But they shall mount up like wings. After that happens, their strength is renewed like they were when they were young. You make me feel so young. That goes back in the 40s. That's before I was born. Do you feel young this morning or do you feel old? Do you feel like you need to be, something inside you needs to be renewed? Or are you bored? They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run. Anyone here like running? Nah. Oh, okay. What about running through in your circumstances? Running to God. Running to the Lord. They shall run first to the Lord, and then they shall run through their experiences and their circumstances. And sometimes we can look at that and say, okay, there's an athlete right there. But what about this one? And not be weary, they shall walk. Well, there's not much to walking, is there? Or is there? Is there much to walking? It's not quite as much as running, is it? When you run, how far do you run? Do you mind me asking, Adam? 10K. Okay. Okay. What is easier, walking 10K or running 10K? Right. It takes a lot of effort, man. A lot of sweat and tears. And a lot of pain afterwards, maybe sometimes. I don't know. But we have to know this, is that God has promised us that he'll get us through these things. And walking sometimes in life, it depends whether, it doesn't make any difference whether you're old or you're young. If you're young, you can get to a point that even walking is a challenge. Have you ever seen young people today walking down the streets? Yeah, I got to give the example of this one young kid. I shared this with Pastor Sean's church several weeks ago. There's a young, well, maybe 30s, 40s, that lives not far from us. Did I share this with you before? He's a black fella. He's always got this hood on to cover his face and his body. But he goes around at certain times and his name is Peter. I met him, talked with him, gave him a card, one of those bombs. Just walking for him is hard. And it's not so much hard for his body, it's hard up here. And it's hard in here. Satan has some lousy ways of dealing with God's people, with God's creation. I want to share one thing with you, and I'm going to close. And it's an experience that I had way back when we lived up in Sydney. We lived in Eleanor Heights, and we shared a duplex home that was worth a lot of money at that time. And we lived on the bottom section, and the pastor that we worked for, they lived on the top section, his son and daughter-in-law, and they had a little boy, Justin. And our kids were only little. It's precious times with them. Austin, little blondie, blue. Aubrey, longer hair, darker hair. She ruled the roost. Well, I'll try to anyways. But I remember we were working for, and not going to get into all the circumstances, working for a pastor up there. It didn't work out. And so I had to relinquish all of my duties, and I went into the pastor's office, and I told him, I'm not 100%, spotless. But there were things, really, that were turned upside down that caused us a great deal of financial pressure, things that were promised, things that never eventuated, and things that were turned to someone else that were, we could have been helped even a little bit financially, it didn't take place. So I relinquished my duties in everything that I had done in the church. And I became extremely bitter. Very, very bitter. And I'm not trying to over-accentuate because you wouldn't have known me back there anyways. Ask my wife. I got to a point I could have run and I could have hit at certain times. I could have hit with a car. I could have killed someone. It didn't make any difference to me. That's not me. That's my base nature, though. Pastor Chuck, I'm leaving this church. Bye. Those times come. And so I made a decision. I told my wife, I says, we're leaving this country, and we're not coming back. I'm going to get a job, and I want out of this place. And every day after that, I began looking for a job, and I finally got a job very quickly. It was at Allambie Heights Telecom in Sydney. And so I drive down there, and little did I know at the time, except toward the end, Wakehurst Parkway is one of the things that I saw in the vision that God gave me before I got here. So every day, my little Honda 175 and an L-plater at 34 years old, I'd be going to work, knowing that the next paycheck and every paycheck coming up is getting us closer to getting a plane flight home. And every time I would come home after work, I'd meet my wife at the door. Chuck, you know you're wrong. You've got a lot of hate. You need to give this to God. If anyone who wanted to go would have been my wife. But I says, no. I says, we're going home. So this went on for months. What I need to say is, when I got that job, just before I got the job, I had $10 left to our name. We had a 1969 Crown Toyota that was already old, and already we paid $450 to Norm Bampton. Anybody who knows him, he helped to get us that car, and it lasted a long time, man. So I went out not thinking, but then I came back and I says, we need to pray. So we laid hands, and my two little kids, we laid hands on the $10, and I said, Lord, please, I says, help me to find a job. And inside I'm saying, because I want to go home, in spite of it. So I went, got the job, and the very first day I went to Allambie Heights Telecom, I sat down, and there were rows where he had the soldering iron and all that kind of stuff, and he made all kinds of electrical stuff. And there was a little old lady, Italian lady, that sat next to me. And I looked at her, and I said, one of the things I said in my prayer, I says, Lord, if there's no job, create a position for me. And this little Italian lady, we were the only two people there at that time. I was there early. And she said, you start to hear new? What's your name? I says, I didn't want to bother talking to her. I says, Chuck. I didn't look at her either. And so I stayed, and she says, oh, well, you know, she says, I don't know how you got to this position. She says, but there's no positions here. How did you get? The Lord's hammer starts coming down. But I wasn't listening, and I kept on being hard. I didn't care for anybody. Every time we went to the church, because we continued going to the church, I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want any ministry. I even almost hated God. Couldn't do that, though. But I almost hated God. That's how bad it was. And I couldn't enjoy my young family at that time. These are true. And then that on the other section, we worked in the normal section. On the other half of the building, there were handicapped people, wheelchairs, those kinds of things. They would work on that side to the ability they were able to work and do particular things. But the way in for one of the persons that came to go on that side was a young boy, about 13 years old. His name was Paul Bowman. He lived in Minto. His father worked for a state trooper. His mother was a teacher. Found out afterwards. And every time he would come by, "Hello, Jack," after I told my name. And I'd just say, "Hi, how you going?" Like just to flick him off. And then one time he came by and he stopped and he says, "Why are you working here?" And I began to explain to him as best I could without saying the truth. And you know, after he went by me that day, tears began to fill my eyes. And God said, "These are the people that are your people that I sent you to love. You don't have any right doing what you're doing. But it's up to you to put my love back in your heart." And another couple of months went by. And I remember one time I came home and I told Miranda, I says, "Well, we're getting closer for me finishing there." And she thought I was going to say to go home. But it says we're staying. God spoke to my heart. He's been doing something in my heart. There's a few other things that took place. But you know something? Can you imagine? I can't imagine. We would have never had the opportunity to start this church. I don't care how small this church or how big it is. This is a Holy Ghost work. God told us to come by faith. 11,000 miles away, we came, knowing hardly anybody except two people. And over the years, there's things that began to transpire as well. You know, Satan never stops. He's always trying to destroy you, to kill you, to get you angry, to get you bitter, to make you lose your love for God and for people. Finances and bills and all these kinds of things and aspirations, my dreams. Some of those dreams, they're still there, but some of those dreams have not yet come to pass that God gave me. What was Satan trying to do with me? Rake me over the coals to get rid of God's love. You see, we can love to a point with our human love, but God's love is eternal love. And it's beyond. There's no limits to God's love. So that means that you can love a person or a people or even a nation that you might not have been part of. You can come in to that nation and begin to embrace its people with the same embrace you gave from the place that you came from. It's not been easy. And all that we've got now is only the frosting. It's like many of your lives, there's things that God has done in your lives. We don't know the story, but if we sat down and listened to your story, my goodness, we'd be in tears too, listening to you, of what God has done, how great God is, how the impossible things that he took on by himself for you and for me to cause us to never be quitters. If I had quit, over the years I've had people come up to me and say, "Pastor Chuck, I so thank you for your sermon because I was about to quit life and I was about to commit suicide. Imagine if I quit and gone home. Pastor Chuck or Pastor Moran or Pastor Sue, thank you for preaching. Thank you for sharing the knowledge that you've got in the studies and all these different things that help people get over the humps and all the mountains in their lives. Can you imagine if we didn't come?" The reason why I'm saying this is that we have ourselves two little people from the other side of the world. We haven't affected everybody in this nation, but we are affecting this nation because we've got people like you that God has been breathing on through the sermons and through taking the Word of God into your lives. And some of you have been born again in this place. You know, it's just amazing what God has been doing. But if I had quit, if I'd quit, I wouldn't have my son-in-law. I wouldn't have my grandkids. I wouldn't have my daughter-in-law. And one on the way, a granddaughter now and one on the way. A boy or girl, I'm not sure who it is, but we'll love them anyways. You know, but God is faithful. I just want to challenge you. Whatever you're facing that's wanting you to quit, you are to take control and charge through God's Spirit in your life. Take that control, because you are you're a missing link if you drop out. But you are that link that helps to connect everything that God has been putting together in His plan. So you're worth it. Man, you're worth it. I'm worth it. And don't be ashamed to say it. I'm worth it. Yeah, you might have made a lot of mistakes, and I made a lot of mistakes, but I tell you what, Jesus saw them all. And you know what? He still loves me. He still loves me. He still loves me. And God still loves you. Amen. Praise God. I don't know what you're going to do there. Sing a song, make us cry, make us weep, make us dance. Do something.
Something. Let's just stand together and just thank God for His goodness.